Blog Talk Radio.
Tune in Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. for the UAW Factory Whistle Show. Johnny C., Dick, Scott, and Jeff talk about union news, questions, concerns, and opinions. Join us and join the conversation.
That's a long time ago. That's years and, what, a decade ago? 10 years ago, Scott?
Yeah, probably close to it. Yeah.
Scott really tries, he'll get out of that tin can he's talking in. John, you're also on.
I'm adding my tin can.
What are you doing, Scott? Are you building a house or something? What the hell are you doing?
My wife got the fork on the plate. How do I sound now? I'm okay now.
Oh, you go ahead, Scott. John's on with you.
Hi, John.
Well, John? Hold on. Let me put him back on. Okay, John's now on, I think.
Hi, John.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Great. Another week in Paris.
Not bad. I'm sorry.
Scott, that's when you would talk.
Oh. Yeah.
This is radio.
We're doing well.
TV. We don't do hand signals. Go.
All right, John. How's your week go, John?
Well, John, can
you? What was that?
How's your week?
not too bad. Not too bad.
Okay.
Can't complain.
Okay, well, this last week there's been some speculation as far as what's going on this week, opening rounds of negotiations, and there's a lot of speculation going on right now about with the troubles. Somewhat, sales are down, I mean, overall. Some of the markets are up. But overall, the sales are down. They're coupling that with the problems that the UAW has because of the indictments, the legal and financial problems they're having right now because of that, and losing vehicles. It's just everything's all added up because they're pushing this up for a what's the word I'm looking for? Sensationalism in this story. You know, kind of build it up really big. How about that the UAW just needs to represent its members like it used to? How about do away with the tiers? Bring cost of living back? You know what I mean? I don't know. That's where I'm at with it. What do you think, John?
Well, I see the International reposted that article on their Facebook page about making opioid drugs their top priority. And the only comments that I've seen on it, along with my own, so far, the people are questioning why that's a top priority. Why isn't wages, benefits, job security, top priority, because the opioid epidemic doesn't affect all of the membership, but
no.
Pay, benefits, and job security does.
Oh,
absolutely.
You've got to be kidding. That's their top priority?
Yep.
Oh, man. Oh, jeez.
Everything John just said is what the National Labor Board says that they're supposed to do to the union. Wages, working conditions, and hours worked. I mean, he just said, no. We're going to talk about an opioid crisis. It's
Jesus.
Unfortunate that some people are addicted to painkillers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I understand some of the painkillers and some of the heroin. Not just, they throw it under the big blanket of opioid. How about we have a heroin problem in the United States? Nobody wants to say it's heroin. You know, it's just all an opioid. Okay, well, there's a difference between painkillers and there's a difference between heroin, right? Was. But I agree with Jack. Gee, let's not worry about job security. Let's not worry about our wages. Let's not worry about our health care and how long we're working and alternative work schedules and, you know. John, this last week, Ford knew about the Fiesta and the Focus having flawed transmissions, and they sold them anyway. What do you think about that?
I think that is absolutely disgusting. There, in this day and age, there really is no excuse to send out a bad quality car. And the only way that that happens is management. And that should be infuriating to the rest of us. We put our blood, sweat, and tears into trying to build good products, and management goes around, turns around, and stabs us in the back by selling bad product, giving the workers a bad name. And it's not the workers' fault.
And I absolutely agree with that. And furthermore, taking a step further, why didn't the UAW step up and say something when this was starting to be known? If you knew, they knew. Why didn't somebody from the Ford Department, one of the vice presidents, step up and say something? Why didn't the president of our union say something? Because if anybody's listened to this show over the last 14, 15 years, in the last 13 years, and ever heard Dick Dangin say something, that's your job viability. The products that you're running, the products like you said, John, that management allows to come off the floor, off the line, and go be sold to consumers, that's our job security. Gee, it seems like somebody from the union would be awful upset about this, putting out bad parts, which can affect the market, which can affect the plants, which can affect the workers, right? Trickle-down effect.
Yeah, that's so, about the only thing that does trickle down.
You know, I mean, I'm going to say this is might be a stretch, but it could be a stretch. Is, the UAW members for the Ford Department would be also concerned that somebody might actually lose their life out of this whole thing, and that would be a shame. You know what I mean? It's hard to fathom. Don, you'll have to help me.
No, I don't.
I don't know what it's called. Dick talked about it a long time ago. Remember when we talked about the old pickup trucks having the old saddle gas tanks?
Yep.
And, you know, they knew about it? Okay. Mr. Dangin explained to us that they sat down with the bean counters and the corporate lawyers, and I don't know what it's called, but they sat down and they figure out the cost of an accident, if that would happen. And they figure that out with their numbers, and if it's too great, then they change. But if it's not going to impact their bottom line too much, they let it go. It's like they roll the dice on this, so to say. And if nobody, you know, ever claims on this thing, they'll run it until they change the product the next time. And I'm thinking that's probably what might have happened here. Don, you know?
There's no repercussions if, God forbid, somebody does get in an accident and it takes their life because of management allowing a faulty vehicle to be sold. that there's, you know, if you or I went out and ran somebody over, and we did it on purpose, that would be murder or at least manslaughter.
Right.
They intentionally let a car go that can hurt someone, and there's no punishment for management whatsoever. And until we can get some sort of legislation to protect consumers in that manner, they're going to keep doing this, and it's wrong. It's just plain wrong.
Right. The Free Press said that they had analyzed some consumer complaints to federal safety officials, finding 50 accounts previously unreported injuries and more than 4,300 entries about the unreliable transmissions. No deaths are publicly known to have been linked to the defect. So here we got a quality issue that is was known about. It's no different than the airbags. It's no different than the transmissions when the Dodge Rams had them. It's no different than the transmissions when Don was still there when we had the Chevy trucks had a part of the transmission that wouldn't engage the torque converter. Then
right.
We had like a lot of trucks out back, and they got them fixed. It took them a while. You know, this happens, and I guess I know it's not good business to let this stuff out. I know it's not good business to issue a warranty recall either. But at some point, you know, when you know this, shouldn't you be the responsible party and do something about this?
Well, there's no morals or ethics in today's corporate business world. It's all about the bottom line, period. There's no moral or ethical standards. There's no moral or ethical codes or responsibilities to the consumer or the community anymore like there used to be. You know, the way business used to be done, businesses were a part of their communities. They supported their communities and their customers, and they felt a moral and ethical responsibility to do so. And today,
right.
That's not taught in business college anymore. It's all about the bottom line and how much can we squeeze from the employees and how much can we squeeze from the consumers. And that's just pure corporate greed. It should be illegal. It's definitely immoral.
I agree. I'm trying to think. It was at least, I was saying there's at least 1.5 million of these on the road. And they continue to torment their owner. That's ridiculous. I mean, you talk about shooting yourself in the foot, right?
Well, yeah, I know. You know, if I'm an unhappy customer, I don't go back. I do not go back.
No.
Right.
Just like Home Depot, I got terrible service at Home Depot one time. And they screwed up on my order, ordered some cabinets for the bathroom, was redoing the bathroom. And this was about probably about 15 years ago. And they wouldn't make it right. I even called corporate. And they wouldn't make it right either. So I said, okay, I'm done. And I have never gone back to Home Depot since, and that was 15 years ago.
Damn.
And anyone that I talked to, I discouraged them from using Home Depot because I got terrible service.
Wow.
So what do you think is going to happen when people get a bad car? My wife got a bad Ford truck years ago. We're not allowed to buy a Ford now.
Yeah. A vehicle, when you buy a bad vehicle, you're putting your money out there.
Absolutely.
You don't want trash. You don't want crap.
Especially with the prices that we're paying for them now? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. It's insane how much vehicles cost today.
You know, it's funny that there was an article posted that I got an argument with a guy at work. We were talking about the propaganda articles that are coming out crying about, oh, poor sales. Yet their profits are still up. The quarterly earnings report came out, you know, for Fiat Chrysler, and I'm looking at that, and I'm reading this article, and I'm like, are you kidding me? What a propaganda piece of garbage article! I mean, it was just so blatant what they were trying to do. That this article was so slanted. They didn't even report on the certain sales increases for Jeep and Ram, only that sales were down on the 300, the Challenger, the Charger. Anything that had down sales was in this article. Nothing that had up sales was in the article whatsoever, and there was no mention of profit in this article whatsoever. So, yeah, sales are down, but profits are still up because they're charging so much for the vehicles now.
Yeah, and building them with a lot less people, too.
A lot less people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
And you're going to see a lot more articles like that, John. A hell of a lot more articles.
Oh, yeah. The closer we get the contract, the more the articles are going to come out. Oh, feel sorry for poor manufacturing, huge, gigantic business, and their CEOs. We're so poor, we can't afford to pay our people. Feel sorry for us. No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
How about
take a million-dollar bonus at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And the worst part of that whole thing there is that somebody else will chime in with a very similar chant, and that will be the UAW leadership.
Oh, yeah. They already hired a firm, Scott, to start battling people on the Internet.
You know, if people were told that they will not discuss negotiations on Facebook, on any of the pages, that's a big red flag to any of us, because we know that that's a good open line of communication to a lot of different people. And they don't want us to know about what's going on. Well, they did. They said about opioid crisis, right?
Now, what are they talking about that for? I mean, why are they putting that out right now?
You know, I have not figured that out. I know it's a problem. I understand it's a problem, and it's a twofold problem. But I've not heard of a lot of auto workers having an issue with opioid addictions.
Well,
I don't know.
They probably go, well, we'll save so much money, so we won't let our memberships have Vicodin or whatever, opioid. What purpose that? I don't even know what's pain pills. I take pain pills every day. Hell, I already pay for most of my medication now that I'm retired anyway, so I guess I'll have to add more money to my Christmas club fund to buy my invitation.
The
thing is that I don't know how big the problem is. I know that that it has been in the news that it is a big issue nationwide. with opioid addiction. You know, people on the on Vicodin, things like Vicodin, Oxycontin, Oxycodone, and they're super addictive. And you know, they try to manage people's pain with those, and in a lot of cases it works. But when people have chronic pain and they can't fix the issues, they have to keep feeding them these pills and they get hooked. And when they can't afford the pills anymore, they start turning to other things like heroin.
Yeah, heroin.
And, and after a while, if you can't afford the pain pills, after a while they don't work as well. You start to become immune to them, so you take more, and people overdose. If they can't afford, they go to heroin. And with the fentanyl problem and heroin, people are dying all over the place. And that has happened to a couple of UAW members. They have either overdosed or have turned to heroin and have died because of their addiction.
Yeah, I'm sure
right.
of that.
But the thing is, though, it's a very small percentage in the big picture of things, as far as the number of deaths. And we already have the EAP program, which helps address, you know, addiction with drugs and alcohol, and helps with counseling with people with family issues. So,
right.
you know, we already have the employee assistance programs that are available, so I don't know why they would make this a priority. It's not making sense. Unless they're just trying to use it as a tactic for bargaining against the company, or a distraction for us, if they say, yay, look what we did for opioid addiction, and they screw us on the back end with pay and benefits, well, hey, they won their opioid addiction fight. So, yay, vote yes. You know?
Yeah. It seems like we have a lot more issues than that. Could be top priority.
But yeah,
right.
You would think. You know, I think the crap that GM pulled with the closing of the five plants, or idling, whatever, they still closed, you know, well, they kept the one open, but you know what I mean. You know, what they're doing to the workers, and their crap about saying, oh, well, you have to be globally competitive. Well, I don't see anybody else that has our standard of living here. I don't see the prices in Mexico for eggs and milk and vegetables and beef the way they are up here.
Right.
You know. So you know can we compete logically when somebody doesn't even have the same standards as we do? There is no competition there. If they have the same standards, like in Europe, the European standards are very, very similar to ours. Their cost of living is very similar, and in a lot of cases, and for some of their auto workers especially, their pay is higher than ours, and they work less hours.
Just like Germany. Same thing.
Yeah.
Less hours, more pay.
So that whole, oh well, we gotta remain globally competitive. That's a scapegoat excuse to screw the workers more so that they can line their pockets more. Which is wrong. I mean, if workers can't afford to consume, our economy dies. I mean, it's not rocket science.
Yep.
We're all tied together. It's one giant loop. We rely on each other.
That's it, dude. Let me get the Skype number in here while I'm at switchboard. Skype, you're on.
Yeah, it's the honorary UAW guy. I'm in the union now.
Hello,
can
Joe.
You hear me? Yes, it's Joe.
Oh.
Hello. Is my voice muffled or what?
Sort of sounds that way.
Is it? Hold on. All right.
This should be better, but then you get the buzz. Okay. All right. John, you're talking about the global environment and the standard of living. I don't know about the standard of living with regards to Mexico or Europe. When you're talking about standard of living, are you saying good standard of living or low standard of living?
Good standard of living.
All right. So when you're saying good, that means that they're enjoying the same kind of devices, equipment, and infrastructure that we're enjoying, and they're paying about the same price, or are they paying, do they have a higher cost of living?
Well, in Mexico, it's a lot lower cost of living.
Okay.
Yeah. They live in shacks. They don't live in houses and nice apartment buildings. They live in literally shacks.
Yeah,
they barely have running water.
Well, I
and
don't
a lot
know
of
all of Mexico's like that, but okay.
Not all of Mexico.
Yeah.
No.
Or Europe. Europe does, you know, when you're talking about we're tied in globally, you're right. But the thing is that our standard of living isn't dependent upon the EU or about anybody else that's outside of our shores. The reason why we're paying the taxes and we're paying the high cost of living that we are is because people haven't gotten rid of the Federal Reserve yet. It's all about politics, which, of course, dribbles down, you know, to the unions. But unless you get rid of the congressmen, this bullshit that everybody's experiencing, not only the union workers, but us as normal Americans, is going to continue.
I agree with you.
So the goal should be not just union leaders who are part, probably part and parcel of corporate lobbyists. It's the root cause. We got to get rid of any Republicans and Democrats because they're both going to fuck everybody, and they have been. But we've been brainwashed to believe that, well, you know, we've only got two parties to vote for. Well, you know, that's because people keep buying into it. And then when they say, well, you know, if you vote Libertarian or Green Party or any kind of constitutional party, you're wasting your vote. Well, I got news for you people. When you've been voting Democrat all your life and they've been screwing you in the ass, or you've been voting Republican all your life and they've been screwing you in the ass, that's the best example of a wasted vote I've ever seen. It's time for a change.
Amen, brother.
Okay. All right. So every 2 years, people say, well, look at the Democrat Party. Look at these bastards. Look what they've done to us. I'm a voting Republican. Some people may switch from every 2 years to 4 years. And then they go back to the same snakes and the same rats that got them in the goddamn swamp to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
I think the unions are very powerful. And if the unions especially, you know, could wake up and say, fuck you, union leaders. Fuck you, corporate leaders. We're voting for honest people in Congress. I'll bet you they'll pay attention if they, you know, if they found out that you guys, not just you, but the AFL-CIO, all the other unions should get together and say, you know what? We should tell our voting bloc, screw these mothers. We're voting Libertarian. Bet you they wake up to your demands pronto.
I agree 110%. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've only been on this earth now for 48 years, and I've been paying attention to politics after I came home from Desert Storm in 1991. And it's either been Democrat or Republican, Democrat or Republican. And in my lifetime, the standard of living for workers, the buying power of workers in this country has gotten worse. It hasn't gotten any better. And it's been Democrat and Republican. So, and both of them have been in power multiple times through, you know, over the last three decades, and still nothing has been done for the betterment of the people. Betterment of the corporations, sure, but not the people. And that alone should wake people up, but it doesn't seem to. Who was it, Albert Einstein, that said doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, the definition of insanity?
Yes. Absolutely. And the reason why people aren't awake, as we've discussed on Donnie's show on Saturdays, is the fact that we're all brainwashed. It takes a long, long time to overcome that. You have to do research. You have to put research together. It takes months, if not years, to put together the research that that you gather and say, you know what, look at this shit. Because you're John, Scotty, Donnie, everybody else who's listening, you all know that America isn't for you. Okay? America's a beautiful country, has a beautiful ideal, but the pricks in Congress, not just your local municipal councilmen and your local and the governors and everything, it's them in Congress. They're the ones that run America, and the lobbyists run them. You know, after having living on this planet for 10, 15, 20 years, your taxes do not go down. Your taxes go up. Your freedoms have been eroded under the guise of 9/11, of security. Your standard of living has eroded, and it's all because of laws that they pass. And it's always been the Democrats and the Republicans. Or in other words, it's always been the Sopranos versus the Genovese. Figure it that way, and you can understand how Congress works. They're all for cutting up the pie, dividing it amongst themselves, and F you, America. But we're brainwashed to believe that this is the land of the brave and the home of the free. If it were, well, goddamn, wouldn't we be living in earthly heaven by now? With all the resources we have, the money we have, the power that we have, and the supposed Constitution that's supposed to work for us, they're not for us.
I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
Yeah, that's right. And if you do refuse, you're swimming with the fishes.
That's right.
I'm right.
You know, I posted this many times over the last few years, different places and different Facebook types of stuff. I'll put it up again. You know, George Carlin has about a 5-minute clip called The American Dream. And
yes,
I think
sir.
He explains it very, very well. I don't, this is just my opinion. I'm not being conspiracy, but I think that's one of the reasons George Carlin died. He made a phone call. He didn't live in a fancy mansion. He didn't live up in the hills. He wasn't way out. He lived in a modest home off of the main road. He wasn't, you know, in a gated community, and it took him more 20 minutes to get an ambulance to his house.
There was a retired senator from Indiana that said if everybody in America would listen to George Carlin, just that 5-minute clip you're talking about, but maybe that whole hour of the show that he did, he said, we'd be all out of office.
Yep. Yep. They talked about how the judges and the politicians, they're all paid for. They're the backpack of the corporate. They run the world. They're in a big society, a big group. And you and I, well, we're not in it.
And we're not in that club.
Security. I know, I like that, but we're, and you're not it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good part.
Well, this week,
really,
I guess it's...
Really back to the contract. Got it.
Right, and this week is where you're going to come back to what you guys are talking about. And this is official. I'm going to read it to you. This is from the official UAW FCA membership update. It is on the negotiation kickoff. And here we go. The 2019 UAW FCA National Negotiations are set to kick off at 1 p.m. on July 16, 2019 at the FCA U.S. Fort Headquarters in Auburn Hills, Michigan on a contract that is set to expire September 14, 2019. Also, this upcoming week, UAW will open talks with Ford on Monday, July 15th at 10 o'clock in Dearborn, and General Motors on Tuesday, July 16th at 10 a.m. at the Renaissance Center in Detroit, Michigan. In all, over 150,000 members will be impacted by these negotiations. The UAW FCA target team has been hard at work preparing the demand book and are looking forward to handling over our demands and making our voices heard. End of the article. A demand book, and they're looking forward to handling all the demands and making our voices heard. Really? This is what we're going to do. Sue them? You're going to get a good contract. You got to sue them? If they did, we're going to close the plant.
Well, I got a warm fuzzy. I got a warm fuzzy after you read that article, knowing that they've been hard at work.
They've been hard at work trying to stab a person.
Well, you know, this.
I'm here.
Go ahead,
this
guys.
May
go
sound
ahead.
Like a distraction again, but it's not. If you guys are going in for a contract negotiation talks, and you're going to find out for the umpteenth time you're not going to get what you want, what do you think the reason is? And how do you go about doing it differently this time?
Yeah.
I
know
I,
two
I,
people.
I got the answer. How do you do things differently?
My
Everyone
suggestion?
Who's listening, it's called a no vote, Joe. Every vote's no on a contract. Vote no. Pretty simple. Vote no.
If they do it. Now, if you want the members of the union to do that, if they do it, then you've got the kind of contract perhaps that you want. But if they don't, then you have to use the power that the unions have. That was strikes and boycotts.
Well, Joe, here it is. Here is in a nutshell. General Motors will offer 10,000 signing bonus to vote yes on the contract. And all these tier 2, 3, 4, and 20s, whatever, how many there is, they'll all vote for it because $10,000 compared to what they're making is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
And I cannot blame them.
Yep.
I cannot blame them.
Well, look, those people who need the money, absolutely. $10,000, especially today, is a lot of money.
Sure.
But that's why it takes. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's exactly what it is. And it's dangling the carrot out there because they know people are in a pinch because they put them there. You heard me right. They put them there because they allowed this contractual language to put that person in a financially
unstable position. And then they come along and say, we'll pull you out.
Yeah.
We'll put you in there, but now we'll pull you out. Aren't you grateful?
Exactly. It's like our government does, right. So they're not offering this money to these people to get this vote. And like I said last week, if you're a temporary person, if you're a in progression slash two, a second tier, a tier two person, they're going to use you as pawns. Mark my words, they will use you as pawns, like Don said, they're going to offer a high signing bonus for a bad contract? Vote no. John's got a list of the 10 or 11 things that if these demands aren't met, it should be an automatic no vote. Seriously.
Well, we got to remember, too, that, not everybody is properly educated to the fact that a signing bonus, even though it looks attractive, And yes, it may look like a lot of money. It's an illusion, because once the taxes are taken out of that, and then you divide each year the contract into that, that's not a whole lot of money. It's an illusion. But a pay raise, equality amongst the members, making the same wages with annual pay increases is substantial. It is substantially more over that four-year period than if they were to give a $10,000 bonus. If you were to receive annual pay increases in your hourly wage and you were brought up and everyone was equal like we should be and no more tiers, your pay wouldn't just increase by $10,000, your pay would go up a minimum of $12,000 to $25,000, and you will see more of that in your check than you will with a signing bonus.
Well, I agree. Dick Danjen broke it down the last time, and I forgot what the signing bonus was last time, Scotty. Maybe it would ring my bell. I don't remember. But he said, he did some figuring. He said that little bit of bonus cost you and everybody over $42,000, I think it was, over the four-year contract. Wasn't it, Scott?
Right. Yep. Yep.
Well, yeah, you might get a big signing bonus, but believe me, you're not getting nothing. Nothing.
No.
The signing bonus basically equates to a down payment on that vehicle that you have to now finance for 7 years. Whereas if you would have gotten a pay increase, you could have had your vehicle paid off in 3 years with that amount of money. That is huge.
It is.
Right.
I tried to tell people that I had some tier two work right next to me for a while. But they needed the money. You know, they needed the money. But it wasn't just them that wanted voted for the contract. There's a hell of a lot of seniority workers that voted for that contract, too, which surprised me. But nobody admitted to it, of course.
Well, you know, we all need the money.
Sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, but if you recap, going back to the last negotiated national contract for the Detroit 3, what did we get out of this? Is we got a $1 an hour rate after having stagnant wages for 13 years, knowing that every one of the manufacturers had record profits every quarter since 2009. We didn't get our cost of living back. We advanced the tier system instead of addressing it. We didn't go after certain things as far as health care. We kind of kept it the same, and we all know that the cost of health care goes up. We did not address any of the major issues for the retirees at all. And the VBA, on the other hand, has been raising the prices to reflect the cost of health care on the retirees. Knowing that our COLA, we may not get it in our paycheck, but it's still paid out and it's rolled up and right over to the VBA to help fund that.
Right.
That's the case. Why do the retirees have to pay higher health care costs when you're bringing in millions and millions of dollars a year and rolling that over into the VBA? With that being said, My friend Kristen Ryzek, who's Vice President of Industry, Labor, and Economics at the Automotive Research Center, she says she's been monitoring for years. And here's a quote from her. We've had a decade of profitable, healthy auto sales, and it's been very difficult for these companies to go to the table and claim poverty in any sense. but they want to be girded against any downturn by not getting locked into higher costs. Okay? Well, that being said, I agree with her. You know, for 10 years, we've had healthy, healthy drops. Okay? You didn't want to really share those out with the people. Yeah, we got the profit sharing bonus and stuff. That's all right off for them. You know, we don't talk about the warranty recalls, how much that costs us. And like we all know, management makes bad decisions, it costs us money. We don't talk about that. But then it gets better. Because it says UAW officials representing automakers have been largely quiet about what's expected this year. So I went to the UAW spokesperson, Brian Rothenberg. He referred to UAW President Gary Jones' comments made during a March speech at the special bargaining convention in Detroit. Now, I like how this guy, Mr. Rothenberg, just threw your newly elected president under the bus. And here we go. We are ready, Jones said then. We're ready to put back into work, and we're ready to face the plans, and we're ready to set the bar high. We're ready to gear up to fight for what is right. There will be no more quiet closing of plants, no more shipping the jobs to Mexico, abroad, and without a sound. They are on notice. End quote. Well, if you listen to the show, you got a statement, a quote from your president, who is probably going to be indicted shortly, within the year, I would imagine, who said they're going to fight for us. They're going to go fight for us. They're going to set the bar high. You know, never mind that he wanted to sue over the temporary situation at Fort Wayne. Never mind that he wanted to sue General Motors, and is suing General Motors, for the closure of the Lordstown plant instead of calling for a national strike. Bottom line is, folks, they did not live up to their contract. Period. And what do we do about it? Nothing. We spent extra money on top of the almost $250 million we've already spent just on Norwood Jewel through August 50th sentence. I don't know what the rest of the cost is for the rest of the boys and girls at the UAW who have been sentenced or yet to be sentenced, what that's going to cost us. And we're going to spend more money on lawyers to sue the corporations that we have a contract with. Pretty simple,
yeah.
Great contract. We're not obligated to meet that contract no more.
Matt, Scotty, hold on for a second. Hold on. We had a lot of people in the switchboard. If you'd like to chime in, please push one. This is the UAW Factory Whistle Show, so if you're a union or a worker or whatever, give us a call or push one on your keypad, and I'll get you right on. Go ahead, Scott.
Right. Well, I mean, I think it's safe to say that we know that the auto manufacturers are pushing forward now with autonomous vehicles. They're pushing farther with the electronic vehicles. Knowing that full well that back in the 90s, we had the EV1, fully electric. It wasn't a hybrid, fully electrical. People wanted them to chop them up. It says it. They can recycle them. Instead, they chopped them up, put them out in the middle of the Arizona desert somewhere. At that time, every auto manufacturer at that time was working on electric vehicles. They all showed their electric vehicles. I think Toyota is the only one that chopped the Prius around. So now we have these hybrids. It's like, I don't know why you're spending this kind of money. You had a vehicle. You had the vehicle that could put your competitors out of work. And they chose not to do that. But with that being said, this is going to cost us jobs here in the United States. Mark my word. And it gets better because if you remember, before Mr. Danger passed away last year, they were talking about General Motors wants to become a tech company. But it's going to leave thousands of people unemployed. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So there's ramifications to these decisions. We'll understand that. And General Motors had come out on Front Street and they said, that they want to become more of a tech company. I'm not saying that I'm reading to get out of automotive industry. That's what I'm saying. But they are going to get it heavy into tech. And I'm sure that ties hand in hand with autonomous vehicles, electrified vehicles. And where does that leave people like John and I, Don, and Joe, the consumer? Where does it leave the consumer at? You know what I mean? You got years of mismanagement taking their toll on us. You know, pension funds are underfunded. They have bankruptcy filings. They have the bailouts. I mean, all those cost everybody something. You know? So,
Scott?
Yeah.
What's the weather like in Hooterville? Because I swear you're on top of a telephone pole yelling into a can.
You're using the same phone your wife uses on Saturday.
I'm right.
Same phone.
I start singing Green Acres when I hear you talk. I don't know why. But I'm going to take a minute break, you guys, and I'll be right back. You can hear the...
Is that better?
The reason education sucks is the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it.
Be happy with it.
Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they used to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all, at all, at all. Yeah. You know? And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners in this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
There you go. All right, I'm back. Switchboard, please push 1 on the keypad if you want to get into the conversation. Go ahead, Joe.
I hope that guy gets recognized to be a political philosopher one day, because everything that he said was just about the truth. And, you know, and the thing is that I'm going to say something a little bit different. I'm going to say that your adversaries, your enemies, as union members, is not the corporation, are not the corporations. You know what they are? Your fucking union leaders.
Your enemies. Oh, Joe, we know that.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Joe,
I thought you discussed that a couple of weeks
ago. Listen, it's also the people in the plants that that send these people to the convention that sit on their hands until it's time to clap, and they vote for everything against the worker. Now, Terry Tobias, T-Bone Tobias, and Scott Shingledecker were running to go to the convention. But, of course, they pick a guy, Johnny Jackson, who is the vice president of the local 598. He has no business to be in that convention, but there he was. There he was. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to do what he's told to do. And that's what all of them did.
That's right. They're all fucking puppets. Puppets.
You know, this is a good lead-in to something that really has been kind of getting on my nerves for a little bit. But last week was just kind of like the last straw. I was in a discussion with one of my representatives, and we were talking about some contractual things and some situations at work. And out of his mouth pops from the production and maintenance parts agreement for FCA under number two, management rights. The company has the exclusive right to manage its plants and offices and direct its affairs and working forces. And then he stops. That is a cop-out. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, if you hear that out of the mouths of your representatives, that is a cop-out from them doing their job. Because if you bother to read the entire Section 2, not only does it say that the company has the right to manage and direct its affairs and working forces, it goes on to say, comma, except as limited by the terms of this agreement, any memorandums, letters of agreement, or supplementary agreements that by their terms modify this agreement. So if they don't want to do their job and they give you that as an excuse of, oh, well, we can't do nothing. The company has the right to do what they want. No, the company has the right to do what they want, except for violating this agreement. So one of the things in our local agreement is that, for example, team leaders are a separate category, and the only time the team leader is supposed to be on the line is if somebody's absent. But management has seen fit in the past to sometimes utilize team leaders to do team member work.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
What does our union representative say? Oh, well, the company has the right to manage the business the way they want, except for our agreement. Do your job. So the whole sellout attitude, it goes all the way down to the plant levels, and this is why knowledge is power for us. If we know what the contract says, we know what the Constitution says, we can hold them to do their jobs or start voting them out and voting in people who will do it. And so I went back to the – It made me mad, so I went back to look up the management rights, and when I continued to read it and I saw the except as limited by the terms of this agreement, I was furious. So when I go back to work next week, I'm going to light them up because I'm sick and tired of hearing their excuses of why they don't want to do their damn job and fight for us.
Right.
Good for you, AJ. Good for you.
Yeah, good point,
yeah.
John.
You know, Every one of the large manufacturers, and I'm not talking just about the automotive sector,
Do I sound better, by the way?
Yes, you do.
Okay. All right. So what happens is every large manufacturer has what we refer to as an operating clause. Basically, this is my factory, this is my business, and if you don't like it, there's a door. Okay? General Motors, your Article 2 is our Paragraph 8, the right to hire, fire, discharge, maintain efficiency of employees, such case that the union shall not be discriminated against. And furthermore, all places and products and all the facilities and means and processes are solely and exclusively the right of the corporation. Okay, well, if that being said, then that doesn't say that I'm any part of that agreement. It doesn't say that UAW is any part of that agreement, except that they wouldn't be discriminated against for being a union member. So why are we involved in business partnerships with the corporation when the corporation clearly says, you ain't gonna. This is all General Motors, solely and exclusively. It doesn't say the UAW. It doesn't say John or Don or Joe or anybody else. It says solely and exclusively. You know, it's an operating clause. Everybody has them. And you know what? And you're right. If you look at the contract just says somewhere where it allows for an amendment, so to say, where there's a change in the verbiage that says, you know, unless this happens or this happens, this is how it's going to be. But if this or this happens, well, then that language changes. And you're absolutely right. It changed. And we've heard from plants to plant different stories of how they do team leaders, team members, different processes. But, you know, we're all speaking under one. You know, Ford's got Six Sigma. You guys have got, what is it, Worldwide? What's your manufacturing system, you guys call it, a Chrysler?
World-class manufacturing.
World-class manufacturing. And we have global manufacturing systems at General Motors. Okay, it's all processed. You know, maybe some of that stuff might be helpful. And you need people need to look up what we're talking about if you want to understand what we're talking about on this. And in some point, like I said, yeah, Six Sigma at Ford. And that was the brainchild of Jack Welch. There's a crook for you who used to run, it wasn't Westinghouse. GE, right? Don, wasn't it? Welch had GE. Had that huge golden parachute when he retired. Don's not there. Anybody there?
Don, here. What?
Oh.
What?
No, yeah. Who was the butthead at? Wasn't it Jack Welch that ran GE?
Yeah.
And when
he
left, people didn't realize he had, I think, what we consider the biggest golden parachute anybody could have set themselves up with.
Yep.
Now, it was the consumers and the shareholders were paying for all of his jet flights, multiple homes. They're paying his rents and his high-rise apartments in Manhattan. I mean, this guy had it really made. But one of his brainchilds was this Six Sigma, this operating system. And people figured it was a good tool in how to control your business and monitor your business. But, you know, as I said, control, because they figured there's a way to control people. By incorporating people into this process, then you could better control the people. Never else, we got union members. Now we're going to have control through the union and with this system that we're going to use against them. Now, I'm not going to say that the operating system isn't a good idea for somebody like at that level. But as far as on the floor, Don remembers them boards before you left.
Mm-hmm.
All it was a thermometer. It just told you if it was hot or cold. It did absolutely nothing to fix the problem. And if you went through the whole step of whichever of these systems you want to go through, somewhere you write down a problem at point A, and you go through point B, C, D, and you wind up, let's say, at point F, where somebody makes a decision. And with all these systems that we have in the Detroit 3, at that final step, at step F, we'll call it, somebody higher up in the hierarchy has the power to say yes or no to that whole problem. Well, what if you documented this whole thing for 9 weeks and it gets to point F and that person who has the power to say yes or no says no? Now what do you do with your problem? You live with it. It's ridiculous. You know, and that's one thing that Danzen taught me about, that's a thermometer. It just tells you there's a problem. It doesn't do nothing to combat the problem at that time. Instead of waiting 9 weeks, why don't you just go to one person right off the get-go and say, look, we got this problem. This is going to continue to happen. Like those doors that
Lord, like
Terry
that quarter
talked
about. Terry DeBye has seen a dent and it was coming down all the time.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I don't
same
know
place.
Else, but he did it. Same place. He turned, you know, he got everybody involved. Oh, okay. And it was still coming down for, a good month or more. It was,
yep.
I don't even know how the hell Terry seen it, but he did. Pointed it out, and it was coming down all the time. They don't care. They just don't care.
Right. Took a month. It actually took him a couple of months of time. If he brought them up to their attention, it took them almost 2 months.
Yeah.
I think, if I remember right, didn't he offer a solution, a fix for him too?
I don't know. I know he was every time we'd go over there by the final line, he'd get this mattered in hell. And it, you know, it does get you out. A quality. Well, you've turned something in as important as a dent. I mean, come on.
Right.
He's up there in pain. He's painting them. He sees them when they're bare naked. He sees that
yep.
those flaws.
Yep. I've changed subject, but are people aware that there was a fire at the United Auto Workers building in downtown Detroit?
No,
Solidarity Health. There was a fire. No. It took off Saturday afternoon at Solidarity House. They said not too far from the bridge there, Bell Island. They said people were reporting live from the scene, which was WWJ's Stephanie Davis, that smoke appeared to be coming from the third floor of the building. 9 fire engines and several EMS trucks were on the scene, and I got an update on that, and I found out that 2 of the firefighters that went in to help fight that were injured. So our thoughts and prayers go out to the firefighters and their families.
Yeah, absolutely. They were probably burning some papers that they didn't want the FBI to find.
Oh, my goodness. It's so funny you should say that, because that's exactly what somebody said. Said it's kind of hard to find that evidence when it's been burned. you were spot on, Don. You were spot on.
Finally spot on something, then. Finally.
Yeah.
Prayers go out to the firefighters. Absolutely.
Right. We talked about Terry. Terry did post a story to workers, workplaces, and unions from the Detroit News. And I thought, thank you, Terry. It's a good article. It's well that you pointed it out. And the article is talking about Michigan's top CEOs make more than 300 times the employees. So if
times.
You, so what was they took, see, it looks like a dozen of them, and they put out what they're making. Ray Scott, who is the CEO for Lear, makes 987 times more than his lowest paid employee at Lear. Mark Bitzer, Whirlpool CEO, makes 578 times his lowest paid employee. And then
wow.
you have a guy from Masco, Mary Barra, General Motors CEO, 295 times. And I'm thinking, they say the lowest paid employee, I'm telling you, I bet you what she's making is a lot more than 295 times with somebody coming in at $15 an hour. That's just a thought. You
I
got Jim Hackett.
highest paid employee. That's how they go, isn't it?
Yeah, it said medium. It says the average on the medium employee. Well, that'd be the, what, the middle of the road. That'd be like the tier twos. But still, okay. The whole idea of it is these people talk about how much we make and how expensive we are. How many millions of dollars have these CEOs cost their companies and their shareholders?
How many trucks do you have to make and sell to pay their wages up there on in the General Motors building?
I'll bet you if our plant alone had to cover Mary Barra's and let's say just their executive board, which would be the vice president, just her and the vice presidents alone, nobody else, not their aides, not their assistants. I bet you everything we run in a year would probably cover their salaries.
Wow. It's amazing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, because this is just Mary Barra. We're not talking about the CFO. You're not talking about all the other vice presidents. And you know there's a lot of vice presidents. Hell, we talked about that. We've been talking about that for years. I mean, that one year, hell, they added three vice presidents. For what?
I don't know.
And they're all making lots and lots of money. But every one of these people will talk about how much these workers cost them, how much this health care costs us. Really? Why don't we look and see what you guys are getting paid? You know?
Yeah,
I understand you're very – well, I understand that they're in a place of importance. They're the skipper. They're the captain of the ship, right? They're driving this thing. And I understand they need to be compensated. But at a point like this, that's ridiculous. You know what I mean? I can see him making $4 or $5 million a year, not $28 million a year plus stock options. Plus their bonus. They get bonuses when we get bonuses. They get out of that profit sharing. People don't know that. They get theirs off the top. How do you like that?
Well, yeah.
Now, don't forget
the UAW hierarchy. They also voted themselves a raise, too.
Yes, they have. And you are absolutely correct. The Constitutional Convention before this one, when Dennis Williams was still president, they voted a raise. In this last Constitutional Convention, they give themselves not one, but two raises. They raise up front, and they get another raise, percentage raise, heading into the third year. So for the next 2 years, they get a raise. You're right. You're absolutely right.
I know if you and Terry are sitting over there,
but
at the convention, you wouldn't have voted for that.
But that raise will forever continue every time.
Correct.
The staff gets a raise, they're going to continue to get raises. So every time the staff does, they do.
You're right.
Yep.
So their raises are never going to end because of the way that it's written in the Constitution.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Man.
Yep.
And, you know...
And,
I love this. You know, somebody just, hold on. Let me, this guy or woman, whoever in hell it is just emailed me twice on Twitter. I did not unfollow anybody. Twitter is pulling their game again. They're taking away. We're back down to 31,700 people follow us on this show and Saturday night show. I'm not unfollowing people. They're taking... Twitter's doing something because we're a conservative show, Republican type show, and that's what they do. Chill out. Follow me. Follow the show again, and I'll follow you. I'll refollow you. Quit writing.
There you go.
Jesus.
Now, right now, with what we're talking about, the GMAuthority.com put out on July 9th, which has been, what, 4 days ago, that the U.S. government just cleared $2.25 billion investment in the GM Cruise.
Wow. That's a lot of cash.
The government cleared that.
Oh, they cleared
it. And the Cruise, yeah. And what the Cruise is, was is that autonomous vehicle that they're based off, yeah, off the Chevrolet Bolt. Not the Cruise, the K, that's a C-R-U-Z-E Cruise that was built in Lordstown. This is the autonomous Cruise, right, for commercial,
yeah,
deployment. So I'm thinking, if they cleared that, how much more money did they make? Just a thought. Just a thought to ask. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I know. Didn't the Ram take over for the top pickup?
Did they do that?
I believe so. I believe I read that somewhere. And Chevy won.
Ford.
Yeah, well, Ford 150 was third.
Wow.
Yeah, it took General Motors out. I know that. I don't know quite the order.
Wow.
It did take. Yeah, well, that's a sharp truck. It's a sharp looking truck.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And that's built right out of Detroit now, too, right?
I believe so,
John,
yeah.
John, where do they build the Ram?
Well, the 1500 is built here in at Shap. And the 2500 is still built in Mexico, which was supposed to come up here, and they changed their minds.
Oh.
I
thought it was up here.
No. Nope. They quietly let that fall to the wayside, and the 2500 is still being built in Mexico.
So I thought that was up here. Jeez.
I thought it was, too.
They give you a nice announcement, and back out, and you don't hear any the rest of the story.
Right, yeah, because the 1500 was built at Warren Truck, and then they moved that to Shap, Sterling Heights Assembly.
Oh, and, all right.
And then they were doing that because the I actually got the opportunity to go to Warren Truck, which, by the way, shout out to Warren Truck. Fabulous, fabulous brothers and sisters out there. Never seen such pride taken. They absolutely loved building their truck. They were amazing. But the 2500, after Warren Truck was supposed to be retooled and updated because the assembly line was the old-fashioned chain link pulling along the floor type assembly line, and they were going to redo that, and then they were going to build the 2500 at Warren Truck, and they changed that up. The 2500 is still in Mexico, and they're building something else at Warren Truck. I can't remember what the heck they're building there now.
Hmm. Okay. Wow.
Oh, what else do they? Well, they got the new Jeep running now down Detroit now too, though, right?
maybe that's what they're doing at Warren, is building overflow or building one of the other Jeeps that was coming out of the Jeep complex to make
right,
room.
Right. And I guess I'm going to have to do a little more investigating this, but aren't they building the Jeep pickup truck in Detroit somewhere too? Isn't that on a shared line? It's called the Jeep Gladiator?
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. I can't remember.
Yeah, so I know right now that somebody from that our plant went to go look for a Jeep Gladiator, and you can't find one. They can't keep them on the lots.
That's amazing, considering their price. I actually got a chance to look at one. I took my truck in for service a couple of weeks ago for, you know, the normal service, oil change and tune up and that, and they had one on the lot, and I went and took a look at it, and it's pretty damn sharp looking. I got to say, I like it. But the price tag on it is wow.
What was the price tag? And I'll tell you what I found out.
It wasn't even on the sticker. Wasn't even on that one. I don't know the exact price. All I know is that
they're in the 50s.
They're well over 50 grand.
Right. Well, this is what I found out. I can't remember who put it out. It was somebody that was prestigious, somebody that was legitimate. I don't think it was Car and Driver. It was somebody in that line. They're doing what they did. Don would remember this.
No, probably not.
You will. In 1987, Buick came out with the Grand National. And what they did was they put out a GNX car. And they only made 500 of those available to the public. And what they did was, on the sticker price, they left it blank. What the manufacturers are allowing, in the same cases with the Jeep Gladiator, is because they're having a hard time meeting demand, they're letting the dealership purchase them, then resell them, and refinance them through them at a higher price. And the people are paying for them. See, when you found out that the Grand National X car, even though it was a limited edition, was only supposed to spend $30,000, they were getting $50,000 for them.
Right.
And that's what I'm finding out, is that some of these Jeep Gladiators are selling between $65,000 and $70,000 for a Jeep Gladiator.
Wow. Now, Scott, let me interrupt you, because Bring It Boy, he asked me, and I'll ask you, you brought this up. It says, Donnie, if the government clear that $2 billion something, that means that money is what the government made off of GM? No.
That's a good question.
I don't think so. But I've been wrong most of my life.
I'll try to get the answer.
I got to stick on a switchboard. You throw some stuff, but it'd be out of context now.
Right. I'm trying to think. So last year, General Motors announced that SoftBank would invest $2.5 billion in the floodplain service of the Cruise. And though the investment has been announced a while ago, it's been delayed due to SoftBank's connections with China. The original plan was SoftBank to invest in the Cruise, and would come in two waves. The first $900 million injection, as Cruise continues to work on developing self-driving cars, which are based on the Chevrolet Bolt EV. The remaining $1.35 billion would come when the Cruise is preparing for commercial deployment.
Right.
Now, the U.S. government has cleared the investment, which means the deal is going full swing. Back when it was announced in 2018, said that the teaming up with SoftBank adds an additional strong partner as they pursue the vision of zero crashes, zero emissions, and zero congestion. So what I'm taking out of this article is that the U.S. government cleared $2.25 billion investment into GM through what I'm taking as the Chinese and SoftBank, S-O-F capital B-A-N-K, SoftBank.
got Jimmy also on the line with us. He's driving, but he's with us.
Oh,
how you doing, Scott? How you doing, Scott?
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Doing good. Driving back from Uncle Dick's. Traffic's hell. Good God, I'm trying to think of the question you're trying to answer, and if I remember right, no, they didn't profit from that.
No.
I mean, they got their original investment back, but I don't think they profited from that in any way, shape, or form.
If you're talking about the stock they sold, Obama sold it. Yeah, they didn't profit at all. They about broke even. Now, if you were to cap it another two weeks, they would have made money. But he wanted to.
Yes, there was a lot of scuttle about. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yep.
And
there was a lot of scuttlebutt about that. Why Obama wanted it first so hard to sell that quick? Because he wanted that all sold. He announced, I think it was on a Tuesday, he wanted to sell it, and he demanded it all be sold and paid for by Friday, and that really, really drove the price down.
Yeah, and because he dumped the whole thing right now, and they told him to keep it. They wanted him to keep it because it's going to go up in value, which it did. And within 2 weeks, they would have made quite a bit of money. But, he needed to get rid of it. For I don't know why, but he did. But they got the money back.
Yeah.
And, but, of course,
so
you don't hear that from people, so they claim.
Yeah. I keep looking at that thing they call a blazer. How the hell is that a blazer?
It isn't.
I mean, the blazer I remember, we barged down the beach. We had 10 women in it, 4 kegs of beer, and 3 guys.
You ain't going to do that in these new
blazers. Well, you can't do that no more. They don't let us drive on the beach like that they did then.
No, that's true. Yeah, it was the Blazer and the Bronco. Remember that? Ford Bronco.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes. And the Blazer dwarfed the Bronco, if you remember, right? The Blazer was huge compared to the Bronco.
I love the Blazer. When I was making a Blazer, we were making Blazers and Suburbans and pickups. Both lines are rolling. And on one line, it was Blazer, Suburban. Two Blazers for one Suburban, then it went 3-1 mix, and then we did military Blazers, and I always wanted a Blazer, and I couldn't wait to see this new Blazer, and where is it? It's right there. That's what they're calling a Blazer. You're out of your mind.
I know.
Right.
I bought a 78 Blazer, Don, and the gas crunch was going on. And there was the incentive to buy a 78 K5 Blazer was they gave you a Chevy Chevette scooter free.
Oh, man. That's desperate. Oh, man. That's
and
crazy.
I got a kick out of it because, God, the name of that dealership in Detroit was Walt Lazar Chevrolet. And they said, "Well, fill your gas tank up for you." I hopped in the Blazer, and I had maybe a 16th of the tank. But boy, they packed that gas tank on that Chevette full.
Oh man, that's
but
crazy.
Those were the good old days, Don. You think about that. I mean, hell, a Chevette cost what was it, $7,000 back then?
Yeah. About 7,000.
And that was loaded. The scooter didn't have nothing. In fact, only the driver's seat was movable, adjustable. And that car there, it had an AM radio. It had, of course. And that thing, I love that car. I put 400,000 miles on that car.
Yeah, you got lucky then. This is for everybody. It says, Donnie, according to GMAuthority.com, our something. Are you reading this in the chat room, Scott?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
the government cleared. The government cleared the investment. You there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
I didn't hear that.
Okay, right. Okay,
why don't you
the government,
read,
the government
read
cleared.
The question, Scott. Read, read.
If the government's cleared that two something billion, that means the money is what the government made off of GM, right? And then I said, no, I tried sending the article, and then he realizes, and he said, no. According to the GMAuthority.com, our cleared gave the go-ahead for GM to do the deal. That's correct. So the government has cleared the investment, which means the deal is going full swing. And though the investment has been announced a while ago, it had been delayed due to the SoftBank's connection with China. Correct. Next. Thank
right.
you. Bringing in the boy.
Bring it.
Real quick.
Bring it.
Boy?
He's the man. Yeah, he's the man. He was on last night. He's a smart dude, man.
Right.
Real quick. Yeah, go ahead.
Tomorrow, July 15th, Amazon's Prime Day. The Amazon warehouse workers in Shapoke, Minnesota will stage a six-hour strike on a range of issues including low pay, poor working conditions, increasingly heavy workloads, safety issues, among others. The strike is being built into collaboration with the Amwood Center and an East African Workers Organization to show your solidarity. Now, I guess how you would show your solidarity is not by buying stuff at Amazon, but maybe by ordering something because their system's going to back up because you got nobody putting the product out, correct?
Since you're the only one, you and JJ are the only one working, send me and Jimmy some money and we'll order something.
There you go.
Me and Jimmy's retired, man. We ain't got time to do this.
Since that damn tornado went down my west property line, Scott, I'm having one heck of an issue with internet. So you guys probably haven't seen a lot with me because I'm trying to post from a damn cell phone instead of a computer.
Oh,
wow.
You know, my daughter was working at Amazon here in Michigan, one of their big warehouses, and the working conditions there are absolutely terrible. The stuff that they've posted online and they talked about in the news is true. They don't have supervisors per se. The computer tracks how many items they're scanning, and if they don't scan fast enough, it tracks it, and then it'll send a message to their boss, and their boss will get on them saying that they're not working fast enough. The warehouse is not air conditioned whatsoever, and they're told to only use the bathroom on their breaks. If an emergency comes up and they have to use the bathroom in between their break, they don't necessarily get fired for it, but they do get harassed over it.
Jeez.
Wow.
You know, these females have a different problem than us guys once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, my daughter is not working there anymore. She's going to her internship. But, she said that it was a horrible place to work.
Wow. It sounds like it. It sounds like was that like a minimum wage job?
I think she was making 15.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think they started them out higher, but the working conditions are just.
Can you imagine working in a warehouse
full
of cardboard?
And they're constantly having to work faster and faster and faster. And it's not like they only work a certain section of the warehouse. They've got to cover the whole warehouse. So if they get an order that has an item on one side and an item on the other, they've got to travel all that way to pick up the item.
Damn. Wow. That's
and they're on their feet constantly, because as soon as they get done with one order, they're going to get another. And I saw a YouTube video on a guy had one of those pedometers on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He walked 17 miles in one shift.
Holy.
Man, that's a lot of walking. That is a
lot
of
walking. Yeah, he said he was exhausted.
Wow.
And he wasn't a very old guy. He said he was exhausted. He goes home, plops down on the couch, and falls asleep.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and that's terrible. I thought they ran the business a little better than that. Kind of makes me embarrassed for ordering anything.
Now wait a minute. Isn't that Steve? Was it Bezo? Isn't that
yeah.
guy that just
yeah.
got caught cheating on his wife, left his wife, and he's a multi billionaire.
I think his wife agreed to $38 billion. If that tells you anything.
For her settlement. He's still worth billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah,
he's one of the richest men in the world.
Yeah, well, he was the richest man at one point. He isn't anymore.
But still, you can't pay your employees who create that wealth for you? You can't put them in a decent working condition?
That's that. I can't imagine working in a warehouse in this weather with all the cardboard and everything. Can you imagine that?
The stored heat? You ain't kidding.
Whew. Wow.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, they can't be all that bad. They do supply bottled water to them.
Well, yeah, but when do they get a chance to drink any?
Hey, it's okay.
All the water
they supply
you want
them. They supply them with bottled water, so it's all good.
Well, why would you want to drink if you can't go to the bathroom to get rid of it in an hour?
Yeah,
or so.
Exactly. Well, you probably would have to go to the bathroom, just sweating it out. Yeah.
Yeah, with the heat, they're probably just sweating it out. They won't have to go to the bathroom.
Well, that's true too. That's true. I don't know, man. It just seems like, you know, females. I used to be a team leader a long time ago, and I had in the pit when I was in the pit, and I had some females that had to go take care of business quite often. So I don't know about that.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I'll go there. You know, women. You know, some women who still have menstrual cycles. You know, they need to change that appendage out, so to say.
Appendage.
And
appendage.
Appendage.
You call that an appendage?
Tampon. Okay, let's call it tampon. Tampon.
God, I think he understood what I was talking about when I said, you know,
right.
once a month they have this, thing going on.
I'm sure
John and Jimmy didn't need you to explain it to him. But if you want to, you can go right ahead.
well, we're going to continue because women also who hold, if they have to go pee and they hold it, unlike us guys, they can actually give themselves a urinary tract infection. So
thank you, Dr.
That's
Scott.
True. Yep, that's true.
It is true. Then they that's a mess. I don't know. I thought they ran the business better than that. Now
well,
I understand when you get it in 2 days.
Right. But still, you could pay your people a decent wage. You could treat them better. You could definitely could afford to do something with the warehouses as far as, you know, the working conditions. You know what I mean? You're one of the richest men in the whole world. Come on now. You know, how many of these warehouses does he have? I know he's got some are bigger than others. I know that. He's got some more popping up. Well, when you're building them, how hard is it to put the, if nothing else, put the liquid coolers at the top?
Isn't that the business they were going to be at in New York? They were going to build in New York City. And AOC raised hell.
Yep.
Was it Amazon? Okay.
Yep.
25,000
yep.
workers. That'd have been huge.
Yep.
They do have air conditioning available in their lunchroom and in management offices. Only.
Oh,
imagine that.
Wonder if they have suicide nets. Make sure. Good Lord, that's crazy. I mean, man, yeah, there's some people I've seen just pass right out in the heat.
Yep.
My daughter said there were two that passed out when she was working there.
God.
And the one
from the heat.
The one woman fell into a rack and hit her head.
Oh, geez. And that's a dangerous part. Yeah.
She got hurt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So there was he was at Wimbledon kissing all over some lady, so they caught him necking and everything else. Go get a room, dude.
Sanchez, she was his mistress. She was cheating on her husband with him while he was cheating on his wife with her.
No. As the world turns, you figure.
There you go. You know, and the day in discovery and the stands in the time or whatever, Yeah. So the world turns. Exactly. Rich people, they just think they're above the law a lot of times. That's all. Think they can do whatever. Well, actually, he can do whatever he wants because he's doing whatever he wants right now, isn't he? Just cost him a little money. Cost him some coin.
It wasn't even a fight. And he gave her $38 billion. I think she kept some of the Amazon stock also.
Yeah. Yeah.
She didn't want to get rid of none of that.
That's expensive, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Amazon, we're not in it.
That's it.
That's it, brother.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to let you go. I'm going to have to go get ready to go make Don some money to keep his pension going afloat.
Well, help Jimmy out while you're at it. And John
and Jimmy.
Tomorrow. Yeah, their show's been over since 8:30. So you're just sitting there talking.
Yeah. Overtime kind of thing.
Yeah.
So.
All right, guys. We'll be back next Sunday night. Jimmy? Get here early, young man. John, KJ, and a lot of people in the switchboard, thank you very much for listening. The UAW Factory Whistle Show will be back next Sunday night at what time, Scott?
7 o'clock.
Oh, you're quick. You are right on it. On behalf of John, Todd, geez. You're getting so easy, it's not even fun anymore. On behalf of John, Scott, Jim, Don,
Joe.
We wish safe. Well, he's gone.
Oh.
So we'll skip Joe. We're on Joe in Big Sky Country. He's in Montana. Thank
you,
Joe, for filling in. Jimmy, call in early. Stay late.
All right.
Don't forget Saturday night, 9 p.m. We're trying to talk Jimmy into joining us, but, you know, it's been like pulling teeth. But
No.
Yeah, he just shoves a big one up me and laughs at me. On behalf of all the UAW people around, thank you. Have a safe working week, ladies and gentlemen, please. And we'll see you next Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.